A new report says people in counties with drilling activity haven't seen the economic benefits of the industry. The report was released by the Ohio River Valley Institute, a think tank focused on moving the region's economy towards clean energy. State Impact Pennsylvania's John Hurdle is here to explain more. Hi, John.
Hi.
The report looked at the 22 counties in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, which produced most of the region's natural gas between 2008 and 2019. It compared the value of that gas to the industry versus the economic benefits to residents. First, John, what did the report reveal about the value of what was produced in these counties, including natural gas, the GDP, or gross domestic product?
Well, the central takeaway from this report is that GDP sharply exceeded other economic indicators, including personal income and job growth. And the report is building the case that the 22 fracking counties, including 8 in Pennsylvania, have not shared in the wealth brought by the shale boom. And the numbers that the report is using to build its case here, it says that real GDP, that is gross domestic product adjusted for inflation, in the 8 Pennsylvania counties rose 55% between 2008 and 2019. And then it contrasts that with jobs, which grew only 4.5% over the period. What the report also finds that job growth across the whole, all of the 22 counties in the three states that were in the study has averaged only 1.4% across that period, compared with 10% nationally.
With that level of production, according to the report, why didn't that mean a growth in jobs or income for residents in these counties?
Well, there are a number of explanations that the report puts forward for this. One of them is the boom-bust cycle of the extractive industries. Of course, Pennsylvania has had more than a century of extractive industries, starting with lumber and going on to coal, and now with natural gas. And their contention is that because of the economic instability of this cycle, that deters other businesses that might be inclined to set up in some of these counties from actually doing business there because they're not sure whether their business is going to be sustainable. Another explanation for the phenomenon that they're talking about is that many of the resources that the natural gas companies use to harvest natural gas in Pennsylvania come from out of state. And so one of the complaints that we've been hearing from local people in Pennsylvania for many years now is that at least some of the jobs on the natural gas rigs are taken by folks from places like Texas and Oklahoma. And another possible explanation here is that royalty income to landowners, landowners who've leased their land for fracking operations, royalty income to them has not been as good as they had expected when they signed the lease, because natural gas prices have been very low for at least the last decade and remain that way.
What were some of the other takeaways from the report?
The report is fairly pessimistic about the outlook for natural gas prices. Part of the reason for that is that there's diminishing opportunity for the conversion of coal-fired power plants. That's one of the things that has driven demand for natural gas over the last decade or so. But since much of that conversion has now taken place, there's less opportunity for it. There's also the pressure for the transition to a renewable fuel economy and concern about emissions from natural gas fracking operations, particularly methane leaks. Methane, of course, is a very potent greenhouse gas. And so those things together suggest that there will be continued downward pressure on natural gas prices with the negative economic effects for these communities.
How has the oil and gas industry responded to this report?
The oil and gas industry has been pretty dismissive of this report. The American Petroleum Institute, for example, the main national trade group, referred to the report as misleading. The Marcellus Shale Coalition, which represents natural gas producers in Pennsylvania and surrounding states, said that the report was the work of what it called an activist group that had ignored other more positive indicators of economic growth.
Well, how does this report square with other reports on the economics of fracking for local communities?
The analysts I was talking to were saying that this was one of the first reports to have quantified the economic effects on local communities of the gas industry. One of the reports that's being used by the gas industry as evidence for the positive economic effect that it's had on the state and of the region in general is from Pennsylvania's Independent Fiscal Office. The office, which is a nonpartisan organization, last year issued a report showing that 3 out of the 8 Pennsylvania counties covered by this report exceeded the statewide average for per capita personal income growth between 2016 and 2018. Those counties were Greene, Susquehanna, and Bradford, which of course all have very active shale gas industries.
You talked with the report author, Sean O'Leary, who I believe was accused by the Marcellus Shale Coalition of being a playwright and also living in Washington State.
Yes.
Why did he write this report now?
Well, first of all, he acknowledged that he is indeed a resident of Washington State and is a published playwright. And he, of course, argued that he didn't see why those things would undermine his credibility for producing a report along these lines. But he said that what really motivated him to do this was that he grew up in Wheeling, West Virginia, which is one of the areas that's covered. And he said that his hometown is contracting and that the industry has not delivered the economic benefits that it promised. And so what he's hoping is that the communities will benefit now from the next energy revolution, that is the transition to renewable energy.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
John Hurdle is a reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania. The Ohio River Valley Institute's report was largely funded by the Heinz Endowments through the Community Foundation for the Alleghenies, both of which fund the Allegheny Front. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.